On behalf of Concordia Seminary, it gives me extreme pleasure to introduce to you our commencement speaker, the Reverend Gilbert T. Otte, pastor for 49 years of Trinity Lutheran Church, Detroit, Michigan. May God's Holy Spirit bless his words as he now delivers them to us. Pastor Otte.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. The Word of God comes to us from the Master Epistle of the New Testament, Romans chapter 10, verses 8 to 17. On the positive side, it says, "The Word that is the faith we preach is very near to you. It is on your lips and in your heart. If your lips confess that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. By believing from the heart, you are made righteous. By confessing with your lips, you are saved. When Scripture says, those who believe in him will have no cause for shame, it makes no distinction between Jew and Greek. All belong to the same Lord, who is rich enough, however many ask his help. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But they will not ask his help unless they believe in him. And they will not believe in him unless they have heard of him. And they will not hear of him unless they get a preacher. And they will never have a preacher unless one is sent. But as Scripture says, the footsteps of those who bring good news is a welcome sound. Not everyone, of course, listens to the good news. As Isaiah says, Lord, how many believe what we proclaimed? So faith comes from what is preached, and what is preached comes from the word of Christ. Venerabilis doctor, praesus, professores, in hoc nostra scola theologica, patres, fratres, amici, sive sanctorum, domestici Dei. Gott erhalte unter uns ein frommes Ministerium. The fervent prayer of the first president, the founding father of this our beloved Concordia Seminary, becomes our own prayer today. How good it is to look back upon years of privileged service in the highest office in the church and to see Candidati Reverendi Ministerii going out into all the world to carry on the work which we little Macy's, the doctor that soldier, have tried to preserve and advance. First of all, let me clear away a possible misunderstanding. There's said to have been, about the year 800, a woman in England named Gilberta, who somehow made her way to Rome and became Pope John. I am just Gilbert Otte, not Vicar Janet Otte. The image of a minister has become increasingly unclear in these last days of sore distress. Someone recently sketched it trenchantly, a pastor's time is his own, which means he's always on the job. You see, the man who is cursed with punching a time clock in the morning is also blessed with the privilege of punching out in the evening. His work is done for that day. But the pastor's work goes on. He teaches, though he has to solicit his own classes. He heals, though without pills or a knife. He's sometimes a lawyer, often a social worker, something of an entertainer, a bit of a philosopher, at times a representative for every civic movement in the community. He's supposed to be a scholar, but he's also supposed to be a promotional genius. He visits the sick. He marries people. He buries the dead. He labors to console those who sin, who admonish those who sin, and console a sorrowing. He tries to remain sweet and calm when he's chided for not calling on somebody's home often enough. He plans programs, advises about the committee appointments, and sometimes does the committee's work for them. He spends considerable time in keeping people out of each other's hair, and then has to take time to scramble out himself with the least possible damage. And just instantly, between all this is the day of the preacher. He prepares a sermon and preaches it on Sunday to God's people, some of whom are present, because they didn't happen to have any other engagement at that particular time. And then on Monday, the pastor smiles when some really bright chap slaps him on the back and says, "What a job! 1 hour a week?" Praise God, it was not men, but Christ, who founded the church with his Holy Spirit and the office of the ministry within that church. And to Christ, Master, Apostle, and Penman of the New Testament, St. Paul, we gain a proper perspective of Kirche und Amt to give the prime essential, the priority. It's the word of faith which we preach. The word of faith was crystal clear at the time that St. Paul wrote this master epistle of the New Testament and preached this message throughout the Mediterranean world. Chapter 3:28, which Dr. Peoples drummed into us so thoroughly, was a sum of agar, pistai, chichai, anthropon, chariste, agonomo. We conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Was no trumpet giving an uncertain sound, but a trumpet that gave a clear keynote to the common testimony of the apostles' glorious company. The word of faith became crystal clear again at the time of Luther, when the epistles of the Romans dethroned Rome and its heap of medieval errors and delusions. Unfortunately, what the word of faith is today seems not to be so crystal clear, since the leaven of the Pharisees has practically thrown out much of Christendom to the three S's: skepticism, secularism, superficiality. Even in some Lutheran pulpits and classrooms, there are preachers and teachers who have abandoned the word of faith. The heritage of the apostles and of Luther, men who reveal in their preaching and teaching that they are no longer in the faith that is firmly rooted in the word of God. Shallow universalism, which sentimentally blabbers about all men eventually being saved, regardless of what they in this life have believed, is the popular stance. The word of faith, which many proclaim is faith in oneself, faith in science, faith in human resourcefulness, faith in the world, it's not faith in the Christ or the word of God. To be in the faith, to make any rightful claim to having the word of faith, means to commit oneself implicitly to the Christ. In the divine word, the whole Holy Scriptures set forth as the craftsman of our salvation. This is the unchangeable constant. The tithe, the canon of the Old Testament, and the New Testament scriptures together. This is the word which the prophet held forth to the people of Israel and the apostles to the Gentile nations of the world. I would that all of you would join that original LLL, Luther, Leahy, Lochner, in getting out to an exulting liturgical ecstasy, Kyrie Semeca, Yareach, Rekukavim, Kaner Kananta, Maru, Tizitkerenu, Uzein Adam, Tizitkerenu. The heavens, the work of thy hands, the moon and the stars, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? And we lay our heads as John did on the breast of the Savior, and thank God for the incarnation, and say, and our say, ain't halogos, kai halogos, doc, agenitos. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In our text, St. Paul shows the two go hand in hand. The meeting of all in part, that Christ Jesus is the heaven-sent Savior, and confessing that Christ with open mouth. And the more confessing of Christ one does, the more precious does that heartful faith in him become. It is the word of faith that we veterans, do you call us the Jericho generation, have been preaching the same word of faith. We commend to you, young men, as we say, to you from hidden hands, we sling the torch, be yours to hold it high, to make a lot of noise, to utter a lot of words without saying that what the word of faith is would be pointless. A Christless religion is no true religion. A religionless Christianity that seeks to dispense with the self-equator, the only mediator, Jesus Christ, a word of faith that focuses only on social issues, on situation ethics, on sloppy sentimentalism of human sophistry, is a fraud parading in the house of God. You cannot save yourself. You cannot get by with a veneer of righteousness, of respectability, of your own reason or strength. Breathing, eating, and drinking do not create your life. They are but the evidences that you are alive. So whatever good works you do in life are merely the evidence that the living faith within you is real, is productive within your heart. Faith in Christ. Faith in the incarnate God who loved you and gave himself for you. It is this Christ, the Son of God and the ever-blessed Virgin Mary, that God established reconciliation between heaven and earth, peace, pardon, paradise. And now to the preaching of the gospel, the word of faith. God publicizes this. God makes this good news known. Come to Jesus. Believe in Jesus. He is your God-given Savior. This is a testimony that rings out from Isaiah 53 as it does from Romans 3. And for this testimony, one spokesman after another valiantly gave his all to his last breath. There is no salvation in anyone else at all. For there is no other name under heaven given a man by which we are to receive salvation. That we may obtain this faith, our Augsburg Confession says, the office of teaching the gospel and administering the sacraments was instituted. So through the word of the sacraments, the Holy Spirit is given, who worketh faith wherein when it pleaseth God and letteth hear the gospel, that God, not for our own merits, but for Christ's sake, justifies those who believe that they are received in the favor for Christ's sake. Quod nemo debiate decresia publici docere, aut sacramenta emeristrare, nisi rite docatus. Niemand soll in der Kirche öffentlich lehren, oder Sakramente verwalten. Er sei denn rechtmäßig berufen. Nobody should publicly preach to the church or administer the sacrament unless he be rightfully called.
Will the academic dean please bring Mrs. Mabel Wunsky forward? Mr. President, I present the candidate for the honor of the Christus Vivid Award.
Dr. Sofo, this award is conferred by Concordia Seminary upon Christians from all over the world who have been distinguished in some special way in the exercise of their calling on behalf of our Lord Jesus Christ and His Church. The title of the award and the design of the medal reflect the idea of the Christian's life, namely, that Christ dwells in him.
Mabel, my congratulations to
you. In place. The citation reads, in a day when high school diplomas for girls were rare, Mabel Stiles completed her high school education in 3 years. 10 years later, she became Mrs. Albert Wunsky. Not only Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Des Plaines, Illinois, but also the Lutheran Women's Missionary League and the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod have been enriched by the dedication and competence of Mabel Wunsky. In her congregation, she has served as an officer of the Women's Guild and of the Ladies' Aid. She has been a Sunday school teacher for 27 years and spent 11 of those years offering special training to teachers in the primary and junior departments. Since 1953, she has served the Synod as chairman of the Braille Transcription Committee. Currently, she also edits this committee's bulletin. She is a member of the Social Concerns Committee and of the Inter-Lutheran Committee for the Sensory Impaired. For 14 years, Mabel Wunsky was editor of the Northern Illinois Lutheran Women's Missionary League publication, and for 4 years, she was editor-in-chief of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League Quarterly. Mrs. Wunsky is the author of 2 books, Where Tomorrow Is Today, and Partners, The World Around. She wrote a chapter in God and Our Parish. And she has written many articles, stories, tracts, pageants, and film strips, some of which have been translated into foreign languages and into Braille and talking books. Concordia Seminary honors Mabel Wunsky, especially for her indefatigable work in her home congregation and for her contributions to the work of the women in our church body. We say of her what St. Paul once observed in the case of Phoebe. She has been a helper of many. Romans 16:2. Will the academic dean please bring Mr. Raymond C. Rauscher to the center of the stage? Mr. President, I present the candidate for the honorary degree of a Doctor of Law. Raymond C. Rauscher, your citation reads, a church body at work called for men of many backgrounds and talents to carry on its business. Not least among these are persons trained in matters of civil law and accounting. Raymond Rauscher, now retired as controller of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is one of these lay experts who brought to his various tasks and assignments at the headquarters of his church body the devotion which characterizes the great servants of the church. Though he worked at synodical headquarters, he never lost touch with the life and work of Zion Lutheran Church here in St. Louis. He was president of its youth organizations in his younger years. He served for years as a youth counselor, as chairman of the Board of Education, as assistant treasurer, as a member of the Board of Elders and of the Board of Directors. For 48 years, he has been a Sunday school teacher. While serving as controller, Raymond Rauscher was also for many years secretary of the Synodical Council of Administrators. He was, in addition, a member of the committee which led to the publication of Advance magazine, and he was instrumental in the formation of the Concordia Retirement and Welfare Plan. In 1966, Concordia Seminary recognized his service by awarding him the Christus Vivit Medal. Always mindful that he was serving the church and not just another institution, Raymond Rauscher represents the quiet and faithful devotion to duty that has always characterized the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Today, Concordia Seminary recognizes him for the Christian concern and gentlemanly consideration with which he managed the affairs of his various offices. Like Demetrius in John's third epistle, Raymond Rauscher has testimony from everyone and from the truth itself that he who does good is of God.
Dr. Soslo, honorary degrees are a recognition of distinguished service to the life of the Christian Church. Each honorary degree is bestowed to honor the special gift of the recipient. And now, by virtue of the authority committed to me, and upon the authorization of the faculty and Board of Control of Concordia Seminary, I take great pleasure in conferring upon you, Raymond Rauscher, the degree of Doctor of Laws, and authorize the marshal to invest you.
Academic Dean, please bring Reverend Roger L. Summers forward. Mr. President, I present the candidate for the honorary degree of Doctor of Letters. The Reverend Roger L. Summers has distinguished himself by serving as editor for 26 years of the English District Supplement of the Lutheran Witness. His studies in journalism at Johns Hopkins University in 1924 prepared him well for this task. The other major focus of Pastor Summers' ministry was his service as pastor of St. John the Divine Lutheran Church in Chicago for more than 43 years. 4 years ago, after a brief period of retirement, he became the pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Culver, Indiana, where he now serves. He is the author of district essays and articles in the Lutheran Witness and in the Concordia Historical Institute Quarterly. He also wrote a manual published by Concordia Publishing House with a significant title, Ethics for Lutheran Pastors. For 16 years, he was a member of Synod's Committee for Scholarly Research. Pastor Summers' life and work stand as a monument to that cardinal virtue of the ministerial profession, which consists of committed service without any personal interest in the acclaim of others. The faculty of Concordia Seminary honors him as a living embodiment of the principle articulated by the Lord when he said, "He who loses his life for my sake will find it," Matthew 10:39.
Dr. Soslo, by virtue of the authority committed to me and upon the authorization of the Board of Control and faculty of Concordia Seminary, I herewith award the degree of Doctor of Letters to the Reverend Roger L. Summer, and authorize the marshal to invest him.
The academic dean, please bring the Reverend Elmer J. Knarenfield forward. Mr. President, I present the candidate for the honorary degree of Doctor of Divinity, the Reverend Elmer J. Knanfield. Is no voice in the wilderness. Pastor Knanfield's voice has been heard by countless millions of radio listeners as the voice of the Lutheran Hour. He joined the staff of the Lutheran Layman's League in 1954 to become the director of programming, as well as the announcer and producer of the various English language versions of the Lutheran Hour. He came to this position from KFUO, where for 19 years he produced the popular weekday devotional program, The Chapel Window. At present, he also produces the Lutheran Layman's League supplemental weekday radio ministry, Day by Day with Jesus, which has carried over 400 stations in the United States, Canada, and overseas. Since 1971, he has produced 7 albums of a series of religious spots and short features called Contemporary, which has been carried over more than 1,500 radio stations. After completing his theological degree, Pastor Knanfield received the Master of Arts degree from Washington University in 1946. 5 years later, he was appointed to serve as a member of the so-called Mayor's Committee, which did the studies leading to the establishment of KETC-TV, the educational television station for the St. Louis metropolitan area. The faculty of Concordia Seminary deems it a privilege, therefore, to recognize the services of a man who, in every sense of the word, has been and still is a pioneer in the field of applying the techniques of mass communication to challenges confronting the church as God's instrument for bringing the knowledge of eternal salvation in Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. Under the Spirit's guidance, Pastor Knanfield has made a unique contribution toward the fulfillment of the Lord's prediction. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Matthew 24:14.
Dr. Sufflo, by virtue of the authority committed to me and upon the authorization of the Board of Control and faculty of Concordia Seminary, I confer upon you, Pastor Elmer J. Knanfield, the degree of Doctor of Divinity with all its attendant rights and privileges, and authorize the Marshal to invest you.
Will the Marshal please escort the Reverend Henry F. Meyer to the center stage? Mr. President, I present the Reverend Henry F. Meyer for the honorary degree of Doctor of Divinity. Pastor Henry Meyer lists himself as a member of no learned society except of life itself. He might well have added the notice that the life referred to is one of abundance, the kind exhibited by our Lord himself in his service to others. It includes a period of service as field secretary for the Armed Services Commission during World War II, when he covered all the states west of the Mississippi River on behalf of the chaplains and men in uniform who are members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He has served as circuit counselor, chairman of missions, and member of the board of directors of the Southern District. His time and energies have also been devoted to the parish ministry in Illinois, in Florida, and especially in Alabama. There was hardly a vacancy in Alabama which he did not fill as interim pastor, even long after his retirement. In fact, he has been the vacancy pastor for more than 40 congregations of the Southern District since he first retired. 2 years ago, therefore, the district presented him with a special stole known as the Well Done Award. In every community and congregation that he served, he has been a model of humility and unselfish service. Pastor Henry Meyer is indeed a true veteran of the cross, and for that, the faculty of Concordia Seminary recognizes him. being mindful of the joy awaiting him at the moment when he will humbly say to his Redeemer and Lord, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more. Matthew 25:20.
Dr. Sofla, by virtue of the authority committed to me and upon the authorization of the Board of Control and Faculty of Concordia Seminary, I herewith confer upon you, Pastor Henry F. Meyer, the degree of Doctor of Divinity with all its attendant rights and privileges, and herewith authorize the Marshal to invest you.
The academic dean, please bring the Reverend Gilbert T. Otte to the center of the stage. Mr. President, I present the Reverend Gilbert T. Otte for the honorary degree of Doctor of Divinity. The very model of an effective urban pastorate is what Pastor Gilbert T. Otte represents in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Trinity Lutheran Church in downtown Detroit is unthinkable apart from his nearly 50 years of continuous service as its pastor. For 1 year, 1923 to 1924, Pastor Otte served as assistant professor at Concordia College, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Thereafter, he served for 2 years in 2 Long Island parishes, and since 1927, he has been in Detroit. Pastor Otte has been a feature editor of the Michigan Lutheran since 1960. 5 years before that, he was named archivist of the district, where he also served in the area of public relations, worship, church extension, and as district vice president. Among his specialist colleagues, he is known as the Prince of Archivists. For the past 5 years, he has, in fact, been chairman of the Synod's Archivist Historians Conference. At present, he also serves as a member of the Board of Governors of Concordia Historical Institute. Pastor Otte is a member of the Detroit Historical Society, of the Lutheran Historical Conference, and the Lutheran Academy for Scholarship. He has done extensive studies in the field of worship, English literature, and urban sociology. Today, the faculty of Concordia Seminary honors Pastor Otte for his blend of faithfulness in the parish ministry, his zealous pursuit of the historical, and his effective witness on the printed page. He has applied to himself the words of the psalmist, I remember the days of old, I meditate on all thy works. Psalm 143:5.
Dr. Sofla, by virtue of the authority committed to me, and upon the authorization of the Board of Control and Faculty of Concordia Seminary, I confer upon you, Pastor Gilbert C. Otte, the degree of Doctor of Divinity with all its attendant rights and privileges, and herewith authorize the Marshal to invest you.
Congratulations, Dr. Otte.
Will the academic dean, Dr. Clough, please bring the Reverend Frederick Schumann forward? Mr. President, I present the Reverend Frederick E. Schumann for the honorary degree of Doctor of Divinity. Pastor Frederick Schumann represents a proper practice of ecumenism. As chaplain for the Protestants of the St. Francis General Hospital and psychiatric wing in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania since 1959, he has had many opportunities for outreach, such as speaking about the Lutheran Church to the Franciscan Sisters, to the students of the Pittsburgh Hebrew Institute, to young men preparing for Roman Catholic orders at St. Conrad Priory in Annapolis, Maryland, and to a group of militant blacks. Pastor Schumann came to his hospital chaplaincy after many years in the parish ministry, including his service as missionary at large in central New York. He organized Trinity Lutheran Church in Syracuse, New York, and served it from 1923 to 1926. The next 19 years were spent in the state of Utah, where he became somewhat of a specialist in Mormonism. From 1945 to 1964, he was pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Pittsburgh, all the time serving as a spokesman for a confessional Lutheranism in this area. In addition to his work as hospital chaplain, Pastor Schumann has continued to edit the Pittsburgh Lutheran and to supervise the work of the Lutheran Center. He has seen service as a vice president of the Colorado District and as a member of the electoral board of Concordia College, Portland, Oregon, and for 7 years as a member of Synod's Board of Appeal. He has written extensively for the Walter League Messenger, the Lutheran Witness, and Concordia Theological Monthly. Today, the faculty of Concordia Seminary honors Pastor Schumann, especially for his broad interest in all phases of church life, his literary productions, and especially for a stalwartness of conviction that merits the emulation of all. The St. Paul, he too has said, "I forget what is behind, reach for what is ahead. And with my eyes on the mark, I go after the heavenly prize to which God has called us in Christ Jesus." Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Dr. Sofo, by virtue of the authority committed to me and upon the authorization of the faculty and board of control of Concordia Seminary, I herewith confer upon you, Pastor Frederick E. Schumann, the degree of Doctor of Divinity with all its attendant rights and privileges, and herewith authorize the Marshal to invest it.
Mr. President, the honorary degree of Doctor of Divinity is also awarded to the Reverend Oscar E. Hellman in absentia. His citation reads, "Pastor Hellman belongs to that generation of men who came to the United States from Germany towards the beginning of the century to serve the needs of our synod. He came to Concordia College, Fort Wayne, Indiana in 1904 to join the freshman college class, completing his course of studies in 1906 as preparation for entry to this seminary, from which he graduated in 1910. Almost single-handedly, he kept St. Paul's College in Concordia, Missouri, from being closed by the Saginaw Synodical Convention in 1944. By that time, he had served St. Paul's Church in Concordia for 11 years. He continued as its full-time pastor until his retirement in June 1961. But even in retirement, he has continued to serve the congregation as pastor emeritus, regularly conducting German worship services. He is best known for his work of recruiting young men and women for the professional work of the church. Almost 100 persons have entered the full-time preaching and teaching ministry of the Synod from St. Paul's Church, most of them during the time of Pastor Hellman's years of service. Before coming to Concordia, Missouri, Pastor Hellman served for 2 years as a circuit rider in the Black Hills. The next 6 years were spent in Helena, Montana, where he also served as secretary of the Montana State Conference and as editor of that conference's journal, The Lutheran Watchman. From there, he moved to Hastings, Nebraska, to serve there as pastor from 1918 to the time of his call to St. Paul's in Concordia. For many years, he served as a member of the Board of Control of St. Paul's College, and for 12 years, he was chairman of the West Missouri Pastoral Conference. Pastor Hellman has always been an exciting preacher, both the farmers in and around Concordia, as well as the students at St. Paul's College, loved to hear this stalwart man of God proclaiming the faith once committed to the saints. It was this kind of preaching, as well as the example of his life, which helped move so many young men and women from his congregations to enter the preaching and teaching profession. The seminary honors Pastor Hellman in particularly for his staunch faith, for the strong leadership which he provided his congregations, particularly in the field of stewardship, and especially for his work of leading so many young people into the professional work of the church. His solid accomplishments for the Lord recall the words of the prophet, "Those who turn many to righteousness shall shine like the stars forever and ever." Daniel 12:3.
Dr. Sufo, by virtue of the authority committed to me and upon the authorization of the faculty and board of control of Concordia Seminary, I herewith confer upon Pastor Oscar E. Heilman, in absentia, the degree of Doctor of Divinity with all its attendant rights and privileges, and announce to this audience that the degree will be presented personally to the Reverend Heilman on May 30th by Dr. Martin Charlemagne, Chairman of the Faculty Honors Committee in Concordia, Missouri. Is a representative from the Heilman family in the audience? Lois, would you please receive our applause on behalf of your father? Dear friends of Concordia Seminary, it has long been a tradition of Concordia Seminary for the president of the seminary to bring the academic year to an official close with some observations about the year just concluded and some comments about the future direction of the seminary. But before doing that briefly, I want to express the appreciation of all of us at Concordia that so many of you were able to join us on this lovely evening to help us celebrate this important event in the lives of our graduates and honorees. I particularly want to express the appreciation of Concordia Seminary to all who have contributed in a special way to this evening's program, particularly to our speaker, Dr. Gilbert Oddie, for his stirring address. As we review the past year, the 137th year of Concordia Seminary, we can only do so with a deep sense of thanksgiving to our gracious God for the many blessings we have enjoyed. It was this past year when we saw our enrollment climb from 193 to 281, an increase of more than 40% in a single year. It was particularly gratifying that our first year class numbered more than 100, with more than 50% of that class coming from Concordia Senior College in Fort Wayne. It was this past year that we saw the addition of four new professors to the faculty of the seminary, Professors Eichmann, Roberts, Henske, and Wayne Smith, signaling thereby the steady and continuing growth of what is already one of the finest Lutheran seminary faculties in the United States. It was this past year that Concordia received the good news from the National Association of Theological Schools that our probation imposed when we were so very small in 1974 had been removed, and removed with such comments as the following. The faculty constitutes a vigorous community of faith and learning. Scars from the events of 1974 are remarkably absent. Academic freedom is present and operative. This was the year when Concordia Seminary hosted a major symposium on the relationship between academic freedom and confessional commitment. The symposium, held in connection with the inauguration of Concordia's seventh president in October, brought together a number of the nation's leaders in theological education to discuss this vital topic that has been so close to the heart of the struggle at Concordia Seminary in recent years. This was the year when Concordia Seminary experienced a tremendous outpouring of support and interest from the laity of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, as hundreds of fellow Christians joined hands to express their support for this seminary, both by word of mouth and by gift of love. This was the year when generous outpourings of gifts from all over the Synod were coupled with an economical use of funds in order to enable us to operate with a balanced budget in spite of a 14% reduction in synodical subsidies. This was the year when gifts to Concordia Seminary included a very heartwarming check from 25 native seminarians at Timothy Lutheran Seminary in Biarritz, New Guinea, accompanied by a letter which explained that the gift was in appreciation to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, which for many years, and now I quote, has assisted in the planting of the gospel of Jesus Christ here by sending workers and finance in generous measure to the Wabag Lutheran Church. Therefore, we are sending this small gift of 50 kina to you. Our joy and affection for you accompany the gift. Yes, this past year witnessed many good things at Concordia Seminary, but above all else, it was a year in which Lutheran theological education took place on this campus for more than 200 future pastors of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It has been an educational process that is consciously centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ, based upon his inspired and infallible word in Holy Scripture, oriented to the primary task of the church in proclaiming the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. It has been a positive, open, and committed enterprise, carried out with faithfulness and integrity by the faculty, staff, and students at this place. For all of this evening, and for so much more, we pause in praise and doxology to thank our gracious Lord for the year that is about to close. But before we close this year officially, it is time that we also look ahead. For with the close of this academic year, we signal the fact that our rebuilding period at this seminary has come to an end, and that our sights must now be set securely on the future of theological education and the future of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod itself. We're very happy to report that we will be entering the next academic year with another apparent increase in enrollment, bringing our total registration next year to between 300 and 325 students, with the likelihood that in three more years, the enrollment here will approximate 450 students. There is other good news. We are beginning to embark on a number of new projects that we believe will enhance our ability to be of service to our students and our beloved church body. One of the most promising of those projects is the hoped-for erection of married student housing on this campus, a plan that is already well underway thanks largely to the generous contribution of $200,000 from one of our dedicated supporters. We look ahead in the next year and the years that follow to a stronger faculty and staff and to an academic environment that is being enriched steadily and strengthened in all areas. Our future direction, we assure you and assure the church, will continue to be characterized by a forward-looking, positive approach to the problems of both the seminary and the church. However, one cannot speak of the future of this seminary in this day without commenting on the larger synodical scene of which this seminary is a vital part. You will see Concordia Seminary in future months and years as it now emerges from its rebuilding phase. You will see the seminary assuming a more aggressive role in dealing with problems vitally affecting theological education and the doctrinal position and confession of our church body. I should particularly like to mention four such areas where you can expect more vigorous leadership from this seminary in the coming years. First of all, Concordia Seminary intends to embark upon a major effort to provide information to the church about the events that transpired on this campus in recent years. For the last 2 years, this seminary has been forced, both by the shortages of staff and by other factors beyond our control, into maintaining a virtual silence in the face of continuing criticisms and accusations against this institution, particularly against its board of control and administration. For more than 2 years, this institution and the people who make it up have listened to allegations of evil and injustice. We have been accused of attempting to silence the very word of God. We have been charged with placing something other than the gospel in the center of our theology. We have received the judgment of God, no less, upon us and upon the Senate. The tragedy of such accusations is that thousands of pastors and laymen throughout this church have evidently come to believe them, at least in part, while we have sat here virtually defenseless in the face of such criticism and allegations. It is now painfully obvious to a church body that stands on the brink of schism that those who are causing divisions and offenses among us are using these very allegations and unproved accusations to justify their dissident activities. It is for that reason that Concordia Seminary has the moral and spiritual obligation to our church body to see to it that the Concordia Seminary story is told. And it is for that reason that I assure you and this church body this evening that within the next few months, Concordia Seminary will see to it that the facts pertaining to the controversies that have centered in this institution in recent years are made available to the church, for we are confident that there can be no peace without truth. Secondly, as Concordia Seminary now steps out of the rebuilding phase in which we have been engaged for the last 2 years, you can expect to see a more aggressive effort on the part of the seminary to retain and strengthen the classical model of theological education for which the seminary has been known throughout its 137-year history, and which has contributed so much to the strength and stability of its clergy. The Synod's excellent theological education system has been severely challenged by the events of recent years in our Synod, and while that challenge has been successfully withstood, the so-called preferred route into the ministry, which for many years saw young men moving from junior colleges through a senior college to this seminary, this so-called preferred route, with its emphasis on biblical languages, Christian doctrine, and knowledge of the Holy Scriptures as a prerequisite for seminary education, has for all practical purposes come to an end. Many of us engaged in theological education feel that much needs to be done if we are to ensure that the positive values of that so-called classical theological training program are to be retained. With increasing numbers of students coming to the seminary and to our sister seminary in Springfield from non-synodical schools, and the figure is between 35% and 50% and growing, and with the move of our Springfield seminary to Fort Wayne and the transfer of the Fort Wayne Senior College to Ann Arbor, Michigan, care must be taken that excellence in theological education itself does not suffer.
It is to that end that Concordia Seminary intends to make a serious and strenuous effort to help our Synod retain and strengthen the classical model of excellence in theological education. Thirdly, Concordia Seminary believes that it is necessary to cultivate a deeper appreciation within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod of the Synod's historic understanding of the office of the Holy Ministry itself, with special reference to the meaning of ordination and the role of the congregation in the establishment and recognition of the ministry. In our present controversies, an excessive congregationalism has been coupled with a faulty understanding of ordination, and this combination threatens both the understanding of the ministry and the church itself. Moreover, the values that we have enjoyed in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through having pastors of the Synod endorsed and certified for the ministry by seminary faculty, rather than by examining boards or by individual congregations, has been threatened by those who feel that endorsement can better be given by others than a seminary faculty. Concordia Seminary respectfully disagrees with this assumption, for we feel that the experience and expertise of a seminary faculty trained in sensitive theological areas and equipped with an intensive knowledge of each student gained over 4 years of working closely with him equip a theological faculty far better than any other group that has been proposed to date to make this awesome declaration to the church that a man is in every respect qualified for the office of word and sacrament. We believe that seminary faculty certification for the office of the Holy Ministry is essential if this synod is to retain its doctrinal commitment as well as the assurance of requisite skill for the Holy Ministry on the part of its candidates. On that account, again, Concordia Seminary is prepared to take an aggressive role in preserving our historic position and practice on the certification, calling, and ordination of pastors. And indeed, we feel that someone must lead in that direction if our historic position, which has worked so well in the cause of the gospel, is to be preserved. Finally, there is a fourth area in which Concordia Seminary hopes to give considerable attention as it moves ahead, and that is in the area of continuing education of the Synod's pastors, teachers, and laymen. One of the noteworthy changes in seminary education in our day is that seminaries today are expected more and more to train not only the future pastors of the church, but the present servants of the church as well. It must be acknowledged, it seems to us, that we in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod simply have not developed an adequate program of continuing professional growth and training for our ministerial servants, because we believe that the church body is only as strong as its theological leadership. Concordia Seminary says to the Synod tonight that we are ready to assist, particularly the pastors of this church body, through imaginative programs, seminars, workshops, conferences, and the use of advanced technology in once again confronting those vital theological issues and professional questions that must occupy the clergy of this church if it is to grow in the ability to serve this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In all these programs, we assure you and assure the church that it will be our goal to carry out our task in a positive, evangelical, professional, and fraternal way, mindful that our primary undertaking is the training of men who have the only message that can save a dying world, the message of Jesus Christ and of Him crucified. In just a little more than 2 weeks, on June 13th, Concordia Seminary will have the unique opportunity to praise God on the occasion of the 50th anniversary of this beautiful campus. On that day, 50 years ago, we are told by newspaper accounts that more than 75,000 people gathered on this campus in what was billed as the largest gathering of Lutherans ever to praise God on the occasion of the dedication of this magnificent campus. As we gather on that occasion just a few weeks hence, we will be dedicating the future years of this seminary to God's continuing grace and guidance. We do so confident that the God of our salvation, who has guided us and sustained us in the past, will continue to guide and sustain us in the future. With a profound sense of thanksgiving to God for this year just concluded, and with trust in Him for the future that lies ahead, I now bring to a close the 137th academic year of Concordia Seminary in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.